on iChoose. And, you know, the iPhone and the iMac and the iPad and the iPod. And so I thought, you know, we'd just talk about iChoose. And so we've been saying that when you make a choice, really your choice makes you. Think about that. You are free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences of your choice, right? So whatever you choose, you're free to do. Man is a free moral agent. We can choose to do whatever we want to do, but we cannot unchoose the consequences. So really, you make the choice, then your choice makes you. And we've been talking about the different things that we need to choose. I choose prayer. I choose joy. You've got to choose these things. I choose to pray. I choose joy. I choose prosperity. Pastor preached on that last Wednesday night. I choose worship a few Wednesdays ago, and several ones that we talked about that you can see if you missed any of them. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about Christmas. Have you noticed that it's getting to look a lot like Christmas? And so I want to speak to you, if you'd stand with me tonight, on I Choose Christmas. And you'll see what I'm talking about here later in this message. And I'm going to give you four words that describe Christmas. Four words that describe Christmas. I choose Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen. See if your neighbor's got it. All right, all right. And if you don't have it in your Bible, it's above my head back here. And let's read it out loud. Ready? Read. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, say it out loud, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, Father, thank you tonight for the free choice, and we choose Christmas. We choose to celebrate it. We choose to consecrate it. We choose to perpetuate it, Lord, to the next generation. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Thank you for coming as a child so that we could live forever as your sons and daughters. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody, I choose to be nice to you. I choose to be nice to you. Now, if you've been in the Black Friday shopping and you've been in the traffic, you have to choose to be nice. Amen. Don't you love Christmas? I love Christmas. I'm telling you, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I'm not ashamed of Christmas. Now, where did we get the word Christmas from? Well, it's shortened from the Roman Catholic Church, Christ's Mass. You know, they celebrate the breaking of the bread every week. They call it the Mass, Christ's Mass. And so many centuries ago, on December the 25th, the Roman Catholic Church set aside that date to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the reason they did this is because on December the 21st, it is the time when the sun begins to get longer. In other words, it's the ending of the shortest day of the year. So it begins to begin from that day, December 21st, till June the 21st, the days begin to get longer and longer. So the pagans would take December the 21st and they would go in these wild parties and they would worship the sun god, the S-U-N god. On December 21st, every year, pagans would do terrible things. They would do, when we think of party, we think of having a good time. They would kill people and sacrifice people. It would be terrible. And they would do all of these things on December the 21st to worship the sun, S-U-N god. And so the early church father said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a day close to this celebration. And instead of worshiping the S-U-N, we're going to worship the S-O-N. And so this is what they did. So December 25th gave enough time between December the 21st for things to calm down and for them to change the focus from the S-U-N, from the pagans, the S-U-N, to Jesus Christ, the S-O-N. Now, it's a day to celebrate when the light of heaven became the light of the world. And so I want you to think about this, that people every now and then will make crazy statements about Christmas. I mean, they'll come up with all kinds of ideas why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. They say because it was a pagan celebration. No, it was never a pagan celebration. It was actually to counter a pagan celebration. Christmas was all about Jesus from the very beginning. And so they say this and that and the other, and, you know, poo-poo this and la-la that, and let the heathen rage, let the people imagine a vain thing, and somebody is always going to come up with some excuse, but it never was pagan. It was all about the Lord, and so it went from celebrating the S-U-N God to celebrating the S-O-N, the true God. Now, here's the thing: it went in response to paganism. But if we're not careful, we're seeing that Christmas is starting to go back towards paganism. Are you hearing me tonight? You know, more and more, it's getting politically incorrect to have Christmas. So it started out as a pagan celebration on the 21st. The Christians changed it on December 21st to a holy celebration. And now it's going back to an unholy celebration. As even in the Wilson Daily Times, I was reading the paper just a few days ago, and it just struck me wrong. It hit a holy nerve in my body. That the city of Wilson is going to cut on, listen to this, the winter lights. Did y'all see that? And I was like, wait a minute, winter lights? I thought maybe they were doing something about a frosty snowman or some winter park. And I got to looking further, and it's what we call the Christmas lights. They are now calling the winter lights. And I'm telling you, it's going back to paganism if we're not careful. So we need to make a choice here and right now that we choose the true meaning of Christmas. It's not winter break, it's Christmas break. It's not happy Hanukkah or happy Kwanzaa. If you celebrate those things, that's fine. We don't discount anybody's celebration, but we're not going to promote that and put the real reason for the season down. I choose Christmas. I choose to worship. I choose to praise Him. I choose the Star of Bethlehem and the nativity scenes. Give the Lord another hand of praise. I choose Christmas. Sarah Palin wrote about a school right here, and she has a book that I encourage you to get called Good Tidings and Great Joy, Protecting the Heart of Christmas by Sarah Palin. You remember Sarah Palin was the vice presidential candidate, and she mentions in her book how the Western Piedmont Community College, right here in North Carolina, on the western side of the state, in Morganton, North Carolina, how that every year they sold Christmas trees to raise money for charity. But a few years ago, they said they're no longer called Christmas trees. They're called holiday trees. Oh, let me tell you something. It kind of reminds me about a Christmas play. It's just, Darnell, you'll like this. I heard about a Christmas play a church was having, and the little children were dressed up as shepherds, wise men, you know. And the highlight of the Christmas play was to show the radiance of Jesus. So an electric bulb was put in the manger, and the stage lights were to be turned off, leaving only the manger lit up. And so at the appropriate times, sure enough, as planned, all the lights went out, but the manger light never cut on. And the silence was broken when one of the little kids, one of the little shepherd's boy, looked and said to his friends, "Hey, they turned off Jesus." My friend, we don't need to turn off Jesus or the light of Christmas. Amen? We need to choose to worship and to praise and promote Christmas. Did you know that Charlemagne the Great was crowned on December the 25th? Did you know that William the Conqueror of England was also crowned on Christmas Day, December the 25th? Well, I believe this December the 25th, and every day, we ought to choose Christmas and crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we don't have Him as our focus. It won't be a holy day. It'll be an unholy day. But this is a holy day, a holiday. His name is Jesus, the one who came on Bethlehem, the reason for the season. And if you don't have Jesus, here's another one. You'll have hollow days instead of a holiday. Amen. Without Jesus, it's hollow. But with Jesus, it's wonderful. And will you choose Christmas? Will you choose Him this year? If you will, give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Amen. I want to give you four words that describe Christmas that you often hear at Christmas. And I want to explain to you what those words are. You may already know what they are. I'm sure you do. But I hear them a lot during Christmas. Until I did some research on it, I didn't really understand the fullness of the meaning. And the first word, number one, is the incarnation. Somebody say incarnation. So when we use the word incarnation, that's a kind of a big word that we don't use a lot. But it is often heard in Christmas. It's a theological term. And basically it means the embodiment of a deity or spirit in earthly form, or the union of divinity with humanity in Christ Jesus. In other words, the incarnation means God in flesh on earth. So when you hear the word incarnate or the incarnation, we're talking about God literally stepping from planet heaven to planet earth. And He made even a greater step than that, from the other world to this world to your world. Amen. That's the incarnation, how Jesus became a physical human being. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Say that with me. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christmas. I choose Christmas. What a joy that Jesus, listen, He was not just a baby. He was God in the flesh. Now, how did this come about? How did God come from heaven to earth? He came through Mary, His earthly mother, through the virgin birth. Now, let me talk for a few moments about the virgin birth. You see, if there were no virgin birth, if Jesus had a regular father and had been born of a regular mom and dad relationship, He would have not qualified as the Son of God. He would not have been able to take our sins. He was born of a virgin. It was a miracle. Mary had not had any normal relationships with the opposite sex, and so God literally came into her in her womb, and she gave birth to Him like a natural baby, but He was had an unnatural conception. The virgin birth. Now, if you don't have the virgin birth, then you can take the Christmas tree down. If there's no virgin, if some people teach, well, Mary and Joseph were married and they just had a baby. No, if you did that, take your Christmas tree down, take your gifts back to Walmart, because there's no reason to celebrate. Well, how do you know there was a virgin birth? Well, look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. It says, I'm going to give you these proofs for the virgin birth. And it says that Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now look at that scripture. It says that Jacob had Joseph. And then it didn't say, and Joseph had Jesus. It says Jacob had Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Every genealogy in the Bible, go to Chronicles if you're very not able to sleep. Turn to 1 Chronicles and start reading chapter 1, verse 1. And Adam begot, Lord, what's the, I done forgot, I'm falling asleep now. Adam begot, what's the one that got killed? Seth and Enos and Methuselah and all that, and you're going to sleep. And this one begot this one, this one begot this one, this one begot. But only in this passage do you see it abruptly stop from Jacob begot Joseph. And women are very rarely mentioned in genealogies. extremely rare. There's only one or two places that women are mentioned. Both are in the New Testament, which tells you that in the New Testament, God elevates the position of the woman, that male and female have equal standing before they are separate genders. So don't extrapolate that scripture. There is still a physical male and physical female. But in God's standing, he doesn't use our gender to qualify us for his service. And all of you ladies say amen to that tonight. But here's one of them. And Jacob begot Joseph, and Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Now look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. That's a proof of the virgin birth. Why? Because notice what the angel... No, if this had been a normal couple, what would the angel have said? The angel would have said, Joseph, take your wife and son and go to Egypt. No, that's not what he said. The angel said, Joseph, take the young child and his mother and go into Egypt. You see that subtle little reference? No one, every other situation, it would have been, Joseph, take your wife and your son and go. But this was not a normal birth. This was not a normal family. This was not a normal thing, because God was up to something, and that was to save the world. And he came through the virgin. And also, look at every reference, and you'll also see that the child is mentioned before the mother. And really, the way it should be, you should mention mother and the child, right? That's Melissa and her daughter, Kimberly, right? I'm trying to think of y'all's children's name, and it's slipping my mind now. All right? So you always think of the parent, and then you call the child. But this, in several instances, is the child, the young child, or the child, or the baby, and then the mother. Can y'all say amen tonight? Now, there was a curse that was on King Jehoiakim. Joseph, Jesus' foster father, was a direct descendant of King Jehoiakim. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 30. Look at this very, maybe you haven't heard of this curse, but it says, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man shall not prosper in his days, and no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David. King Jehoiakim had sinned so bad that he was a descendant of David, and he was a king of Israel, or Judah particularly. He sinned so bad that God said, curse his, none of his descendants will sit on the throne of David. Joseph was a direct descendant of King Jehoiakim. So if Joseph had been naturally born of Joseph, if Joseph had been the natural father of Jesus, then the curse would have been continued, and Jesus could not legally have reigned on the throne of David. But notice, however, that Jesus did not come naturally through Joseph. He came supernaturally through Mary. Now, let me tell you something about Mary. Mary, she was also a descendant of David, but from a different line. And because she was also a son of David, and because there was no curse on that line, because he was a natural born child of Mary in the natural sense, though not the supernatural sense, he was God. That way he bypassed the curse. So I'm just telling you, if he had not been born of a virgin, he could have not been king of Israel. But because he was born of a virgin and came through Mary, another line of David, he's able to sit on the throne of David. He is the Prince of Peace. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He is the virgin-born Son of God. Would you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Silent night, holy night, round John virgin, mother and child. Amen. Somebody said it like this. Jesus is the only baby ever born who had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. He had a heavenly father, but not a heavenly mother. He is the only baby ever born who is older than his mama and is as old as his daddy. Woo, that went over my head. Now I'm the one that wrote it down. Nobody like Jesus. Thank you, sister. That was perfect. He had a heavenly father, but not a heavenly mother. He's the only baby ever born who was older than his mother and as old as his father. Somebody say the incarnation. God came down. And I choose Christmas because of that miracle. Can you say amen? There's another word that we often hear at Christmas time called the epiphany or epiphany. Now, I had to do some studying on this because I had heard the word, but I wasn't familiar enough with the word. Didn't understand what it meant. But what does the word epiphany mean? It simply means appearing. Say the word appearing. So it can be the appearance or manifestation, particularly in relation to a divine being. Or it could be a revealing scene or moment. I had my epiphany that I was about to get a raise on my job. Or I had this epiphany that this thing was going to happen. So it's also an appearing or a revealing of something that perhaps was shocking or not expected. So think of the wise men. This is where we get the epiphany from. You remember the Bible says, go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with what? Great joy. So that was an epiphany. They're searching. They're looking. They've studied. They've prepared. They know something is about to happen. And boom, there it is, the appearing of the star. And that star led them to the bright and the morning star. And by the way, you can't see a star unless it's at night. And don't discount the night seasons. And I know that Christmas can be a struggle sometimes. But I promise you that you can rejoice. You have to choose to rejoice because it's in the darkness that you see the star. And when they saw the star, they did what? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I'll tell you that the star is still shining in your heart and in your life and in this world and this church. I know it's getting darker and I know things are getting worse, but I choose Christmas because I have had my epiphany. I have seen the star and I've said, where is the King? We have come to worship Him. Can you say amen tonight? So, really, the Roman Catholic Church celebrated the Epiphany on their calendar. Now, we don't go by the Roman Catholic calendar, but some of you have heard of this song, The 12 Days of Christmas. So, the 12 Days of Christmas was from January 25th to January 5th. December 25th. To January 5th. And my grandmother used to talk about the celebrating of the old Christmas or the old Christmas date. I've heard that over the years, and I didn't understand what they were talking about. But really, it was the celebration of the Epiphany. If you look on your calendar, you'll see January the 6th is the celebration of when the wise men saw the star. They had that epiphany. And so it is a moment. It was a moment when they saw the star and they knew that Jesus Christ was born. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you seen that star? Have you had an epiphany? Have you come to that moment in which you suddenly realize, wow, I need Jesus. I know the way I'm going is not the right way. The Bible says, unto you is born this day in the city of David. He is your epiphany. He belongs to you. He's the Savior of the world, but He's the Savior of your soul. And you need to celebrate and choose Christmas because of that. Give Him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. You ever heard the word nativity? There's a movie called The Nativity. So what is the nativity? The nativity is literally the place where Jesus was born. Native. You know what when we refer to, you know, when somebody's born into a particular, you know, I'm a native of Nash County. I was born in Rocky Mount at Nash General Hospital. So now in my life, I've pastored different locations. I remember my last church that I pastored was a very unique culture, very unique place, down east Carteret County. When you cross this bridge down there, you're going into a different world. I'm telling you, if you're not from there, I'm telling you, you know it. Just tread carefully, and be careful what you say and what you do, because I tell you, those, you know, and so when I pastored down there, I was an outsider. And they had a little name for outsiders. They called them dit-dots, and they called them, there was another word, and I can't remember. Do you remember what it was, Darnell? And you're not paying attention. Dingbatters, that's right. You about to have an epiphany, amen. and I'm about to see a star too, right? me and Darnell, you know, we never had, I never like to talk about myself while I'm preaching, but we never have had children in the home, and so we act like kids, because we, you know, we never had to put on the adult, you know, like all of the rest of us do to show our kids. So just pardon us, we're still growing up, amen. But when You were not. I was not native to that area, and they actually had a brogue. If you go down east, they talk different, and you know, in the book of Isaiah, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, they had a brogue to it, and so when I lived down there, I was not born in that culture. So sometimes I would say little things that to that culture really didn't go right. So the point I'm just trying to tell you is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was not from Bethlehem, in the sense that his home was in heaven. Amen. And so the nativity where he was born as a human was in a place called Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Now I want you to think about that little town of Bethlehem, that nativity where he is a native of. It's a little place. Somebody say a little place. Now, when Prince William and Princess Kate, about 3 or 4 years ago, had their first child. And we saw on the news, you know, the hospital and the carriages. And we saw the guards. And then we saw mom and dad and the little baby. Jesus wasn't born like that. He was born in a stable, in a manger, not in a royal garden palace, but he was born in a place called Bethlehem. And John chapter 1 verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Now, the Message paraphrase that I just refer to it. I don't read it. There's a lot of things I don't like about the Message. But there's a lot of wording that Eugene Peterson put in there that it's just absolutely wonderful. It's not inspired, but it's sort of like a paraphrase. But he paraphrases this, where in the King James it says, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson quotes it like this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's the nativity. He moved into the neighborhood. Aren't you glad he moved into the hood? Aren't you glad he moved down into the hood here? There's nowhere you can't find him. If he left heaven for earth, my friend, I'm telling you, it's so that you and I can leave earth for heaven. Thank God that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. That is it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? I tell you, you can't get better than Mr. Rogers when it comes to Jesus. Amen. He moved into the neighborhood. Thank God for the nativity, and it is not winter lights. It's not some kind of pagan celebration. It is Jesus moving into the hood, and I'm going to celebrate. I choose Christmas. Can you say amen tonight? So these words, I hope, have greater meaning to you. Amen? I hope that you understand the incarnation, how he became flesh and blood, the epiphany, how he appeared. How he appeared and the soul felt its worth, O holy night. And the nativity, the place called Bethlehem. And I could work on that a little bit, how that God comes in faraway places. God comes in places that others have not thought about. In small places, God can do big things. Amen? And let me close with the final word I want to highlight to you. is the word Advent. Now, that's a Christmas word. Have you heard that? An Advent, the Advent. In fact, it's 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. The four candles, we did those at one of the churches I pastored. And we had some folks that were really into the Advent candles and things like that. And I think it's very beautiful and very meaningful. But what does the word Advent mean? Well, have you ever heard of the word adventure? You know, so that's not completely what it's about. You know, when we think of an advent or an adventure, you know, sometimes Christmas can be an adventure. I mean, you get to driving down Airport Boulevard in certain times of the day. That's an adventure. Amen. You just go down to Walmart on Christmas Eve about 4 o'clock. Now, that's an adventure. Come on now. Now, when you go home for Christmas and you gather with cousins you haven't seen all year, that's an adventure, too. Amen. Crazy cousins and crazy uncles and aunts and it's just family. Amen. You know, the Adams family. Come on now. But the word Advent, some of y'all not probably had Christmas like I had. My Christmas growing up was not. My grandmother was a Christian. I was a Christian, but the rest of them, they weren't Christians. And so it was an adventure. I promise you. But we had a good time. Nobody could remember it the next day, but we had a good time. And I tell you, I have some great Christmas memories. But the word Advent just basically means coming. So this is more than an epiphany and an unveiling or an appearing. The word Advent just means an arrival, coming, an important arrival. How many of you got a package that's arrived? Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible said when man sinned, God said, I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the promise of the Advent. Did you know Christmas didn't start with the Roman Catholic Church? Christmas didn't start in America. Christmas started in the Garden of Eden when God said, he's coming. He's going to come, the seed of the woman, the virgin birth. Not the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman, or really more properly, the seed through the woman. Because Jesus didn't come from Mary, he came through Mary. And I want you to understand something, that the Advent was promised. And all through the prophets, they said, he's coming. He's coming. Moses said, a prophet like unto me will God raise up to you, and you'll hear him, and he will deliver you. And you keep looking, and you keep looking. And even Jacob, when he talked about the scepter shall never depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. You see the coming of the Advent. The Advent, it was coming. He was coming. He was just like these boys. They're coming. They're coming right now. Amen. Perfect timing. Go back to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Here's the Advent in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to read it from the King James. But thou, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth. Somebody say come. That's the Advent. That's what we mean by Christmas, the Advent, the coming one. He came on that first Christmas. And by the way, here's a little nugget for you that I picked up a couple of years ago. Notice he was born in Bethlehem, but Micah was more specific. He said, he didn't just say Bethlehem, he said Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, you've heard of Wilson, say amen, but have you ever heard of Sims? Sure you have. But ask somebody who's not familiar with Wilson County. They've heard of Wilson, but Sims? They've never heard of Sims, you ask most people. You've heard of Bethlehem, but have you ever heard of Ephrathah? It's very interesting about Ephrathah. Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem El Bethel, or the God of Beth really means it's the house of bread. El Bethel, Bethlehem, the house of bread. So Bethlehem represents bread. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he's the bread of the world. Say amen. But what you may not realize is that if you do study, Brother Tom, Ephrathah was the place where they produced grapes and wine. And they were neighboring communities. One was famous for bread. The other was famous for wine. Are y'all getting it yet? Jesus was born, bread and the wine. What do we take every now and then? We take the communion, right? It represents the what? The bread. And it represents the blood or the wine. So Jesus Christ was, his birth was in a place that spoke of his purpose. He wasn't born to live. He was born to die so that we could live. And he came. That's what the word Advent. He came. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel shall come from you, one whose origins is from distance past, from Eden's gates to the Psalms to the prophets. Even to John the Baptist himself said he's coming. And Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. Oh, thank God I choose Christmas, that Jesus Christ came. And it's not winter holiday. It's not holiday trees. It's Christmas. Christmas. I choose Christmas. He came. So let's give him praise for that tonight. Amen. Now, I got to thinking about how many miles I put on my car, or will put on my car for Christmas. So, Christmas Eve, I'm going to head over to my mother's house, which is not that far, about 12 miles. So, let's say 25 miles on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Day, we're going down to the Howell Farm, between LaGrange and Goldsboro. And so that'll be, I guess, about 80 miles. So you could probably say, let's just say total, make it easy, let's say 100 miles. My Christmas, I'm going to put on my car, and I'm going to go 100 miles to celebrate Christmas. But friend, can I tell you, how many miles did he come when he left the throne of glory? And he traveled all the way to Bethlehem, Ephrathah. From Bethlehem, Ephrathah, he went to Jerusalem and crucified. And he died, and he traveled all the way down to the gates of hell and took the keys and rose again on the third day. And he traveled back up to glory. But friend, how far did he come to travel to come into your heart and into your life? Do you remember the day when you had your Christmas? And I'm not talking about December 25th. I'm talking about when you had your incarnation, when you had your Advent, when you had your nativity, where he was born right here in your heart. When you had that moment where Jesus traveled from heaven to earth to take you from earth to heaven. Let's celebrate Christmas. I choose Christmas. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. And by the way, the Advent speaks of his first coming. But have you ever heard the phrase the second Advent? What do you mean by that? Well, you know, the first Advent was when? Christmas. 2,000 years ago. Well, the second Advent has yet to happen. Do you know what that is? That's the coming of the Lord. And I promise you, if he came, would you stand with me tonight? If he came the first time, I'm here to tell you, he's going to come the second time. We're looking any day for the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, when he comes again, you're not going to talk about happy this and happy that and holiday lights and holiday trees. You're going to be saying Christmas, Merry Christmas every day for thousands and thousands. Every day will be a Christmas because he is in our heart. And the star shines bright, and we are in the palm of his hand, and no man will pluck us out of his hand. Will you choose Christmas this year? Will you choose to worship? Will you choose to witness? Will you tell people about the one who came for them? Will you be a witness to your loved ones? Can I get a witness out there tonight? Lift your hands and say, I choose Christmas. I choose to celebrate. I choose to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is coming again. He is coming again. Joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Let earth receive her King. Let every prepare
him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven and nature sing. Oh, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart and nature sing.
Come on.
And heaven and
I choose Christmas.
Sing. And heaven, heaven, and nature.
Verse number 3. He rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and truth. And makes the nations prove
the glory.
The glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.